And you know, that is just testament to how this church is, that these altars are never closed. There's no doors on them. There's no time in the service that is the most perfect time for you to come down to the altar. You can come down to the altar whenever God leads you to come down, whether that's in the beginning, the middle of anything that is happening. You don't just sit there while God is, you know, tugging on your heartstrings. There's all kind of things that's going on in this house this morning. And it ties very much into what God has me to be talking about this morning. You know, last Sunday, I had a better voice, but last Sunday we talked about are your ears, or have you trained your ears to hear the voice of the shepherd? And you know, this whole week, the past couple of weeks, I shared it with y'all on a Wednesday night, that Satan has just been attacking mightily. And I've heard that from so many people that's been in the church. And I told you, I cautioned you that it will happen more and more and more, especially, and it just happens anyway if you are following God's will, if you're following God's path for your life. Satan is trying to get you to stop. He's trying to say, you know what, no, you're going to come back. You don't need to be advancing the kingdom of God. You don't need to be out there evangelizing or whatever the case may be. He's going to pull you back. He's going to try. He's going to send some, you know, legions there after you. And if you're in this church and you're a part of the play, he certainly doesn't want that type of a story to be told today. He doesn't want the gospel to be preached. He certainly don't want it to be displayed, you know, to 600 people, you know, over 2 weeks. He doesn't want that to be done. And he's going to attack. He's going to attack me. He's going to attack you. And we just have to be ready. Because you know what? If you're a child of God and you're in the palm of his hand, nothing's going to be able to pluck you out of Jesus' hands or the Father's hands, either one, the Bible tells us. And so we just have to put the devil on point and put him in his place. That's why I've told you before, just turn to the book of Revelation, read him a bedtime story sometimes when he's knocking on your door, when he's sitting there whispering to you in the nighttime. Just open your Bibles. I've done that before and just read to him when he gets thrown into the abyss and he's locked there forever. He doesn't win in the end. And he's not going to win in the battles right now unless you let him. And so just remind him, we know the end of the story. We know it. We know what his fate is. And so quit playing around with us right now. Okay? But you got to claim victory in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ for that. And I tell you what, there's some attacks that come that can rock your very foundation that you stand on. And that's the title of the message this morning. How firm is your foundation? How firm is what you've been built? What is the most important element of building a building? The foundation. Because if the foundation is not built strong, if the foundation isn't built properly, then the whole entire place is going to come crashing down when something comes, when the wind comes, when the rain comes, when a tornado just happens to pass by, the whole place is just going to crumble and fall down. You get a bunch of people in there. The foundation of a building is the very most important part. And your Christian foundation that you're living on today is very important for it to be founded on Jesus Christ, for it to be founded on a firm foundation. And see, you hear so many times of people that are going through things and Satan's coming and he's attacking, or either there's things of the flesh that is happening in our life, and we see people that are just willing just to throw away their faith, to throw it away, to say, you know, I'm done with God and I'm done with the Bible, I'm done with church. How many people do that? Some little argument or something happens in the church, because you know what? Church is full of what? What's all these people? People. It's full of people. Sinners. People that talk about you sometimes and they ain't always nice, even Christian people. No, really? Go figure. I've seen it many times, and there's no different out there than it is in here. People are still going to be people sometimes. And what I've told you, though, is inside of the church, we're supposed to be loving. Okay, we're supposed to be about restoration. We're supposed to be about teaching and helping to people to build on a firm foundation. That's our task. That's our jobs. But, you know, when something small and the most minute thing happens, I understand when these things happen outside of these walls, okay? But it baffles me when it happens inside. It rocks the very foundation that the people are on, and they just start questioning God and throwing away the Bible, never going to church anymore, and all this. And I just have to ask you in those moments, and people that sat in my office before, and first of all, I'm going to just let you know a little secret about me. This is a freebie as a pastor. I don't take ultimatums well when it comes to things like that. Well, I'm going to leave the church. If y'all don't start singing this type of music or that type of music, bye. Two rules. Remember my two rules? That you are led by God to do something, and you are willing to do what God led you to do. So if you're leaving, I'm just trusting that you're following the two rules, and God, you know, told you to leave. Because that's the only reason you ought to be leaving a church. If God is sending you somewhere, the only reason you ought to be coming is if God is sending you, you know, there. You don't let Satan run you away from somewhere. Then he's just going to keep running you all around and all that kind of stuff. When I sit there with people and people start out with that type of thing, how did it happen? Well, this don't happen. Then I say, well, I had, when I was a youth pastor, I had that as well. I'm not coming back to this youth group anymore. There's hypocrites here. Jonathan taught me a thing long time ago. You know, if a hypocrite stands between you and God, which one's closer? The hypocrite. I started going back to the youth group because of that. Remember that? Years and years ago? Because I said that same thing when I was in the youth group back then. I said, hey, I'm not going. There's a bunch of hypocrites in there. And he told me that, and I was back the next Sunday. but you know, that happens in the church. And I'm just asking, if you have those types of feelings, if something small happens in your life, whether it's somebody that's sick or something is going on in your finances in your life, and that rocks the very foundation that you have, how firm is your foundation? I need you to assess it today. I need you to send the inspector out yourself and take a look. Knock on it. See how firm that foundation is. And let's turn to the Bible and let's get rooted in here. It's Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. The very role of a pastor, the purpose of a pastor, is what Ephesians 4:12 says, to equip the saints for the works of ministry. That's my job responsibility. You know, churches give you a whole long list of what you should do and shouldn't do. You should do this many times and that many times, and you should be here this many times and do this and do that, and here's your job description of what a pastor is, and yada, yada, yada down the list. The only responsibility that God has given us, the sole responsibility, is to equip the saints for the works of ministry. That's what our responsibility is. But any number of people like to say, well, you should do this, and you should do, and see, pastors, we try, okay? We try to do everything and be everything to everybody, but that doesn't work, okay? It doesn't work, because any number of y'all that are in here this morning, you got a different job description for me than the person sitting beside you, in front of you, and behind you. You think, I ought to do this, and I ought to do this, and the deacons ought to do this, and the Sunday school teachers ought to do this, and Jonathan and the youth ought to do this, and Ken and the service ought to do this, and all of these things that come out about what everybody ought to do. And people like to, that rocks their very foundation sometimes when they see what they think somebody is or is not going to be doing. My responsibility from the Word of God is to be equipping you. And what that is to be helping you as much as I can to build a firm foundation. And let's read here Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Right off the bat, you see and you hear that the people there were talking about how the reasons why, given every reason why they should be in heaven, given every reason why they ought to be entering in. It says right there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then in verse 22, many will say, look, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. My foundation is firm. All of these people that are crying out in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, thought their foundation was firm. Every day of their life, they thought they had done all that they were supposed to do. That they were standing on the rock. But they were not. And I'm asking you this morning, are you in a verse 22 crowd? Are you in this false reality that your foundation is firm because you've been doing what your mama's 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 grandma did? Is that the only source of your foundation that you're living on? Is, hey, I'm just here today because that's just the way what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning. I believe in Jesus because my mama told me. I believe in Jesus because, I just need a little fire insurance. Hopefully we won't burn. I dare say, if that is as grounded as you are, there's some foundation work to be done in your life, okay? Because you got to know, as the old pastor told me a long time ago, know that you 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 know, okay? That Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. It's not a head knowledge thing at all. The Bible tells us if you will believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, not believe in your mind. Jimmy Peace talks a lot about, if you go to his house and you talk to him about beliefs, he don't care anything about beliefs, does he, Doris? He wants to know. He said, people can believe anything. You can believe, just like these people in verse 22. You can believe, well, I came to church every single Sunday night, and guess what? Wednesday night too. I came to every women's breakfast and luncheon that happened. I attended Sunday school never. Perfect attendance for 65 years I attended Sunday school. This is what these people are saying. Don't you hear me? They look at it right here. They are just saying these things in another way. Many will say to me on that, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? Did we not perform many miracles? Lord, we did all of these things. And he still told them, depart for me, I never knew you. That just right there leads me to believe that sometimes, you know, I need to look down and make sure, yeah, Jesus Christ. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I've been believing in Jesus all my life. Believing in Jesus is not what gets you to heaven. Lots of people believe in Jesus. The demons believe and know, and they even tremble at it. The question is, does Jesus know you? That's the thing. I said this the other night. I don't know if it's Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know. Preach so much that it runs together. That it's like, and I may have said this on Sunday, the difference between a groupie and a sheep. Yeah, that was Sunday morning. Difference between a groupie and a groupie. Hey, they know all the rock stars now. They get the autographs. They run around and they know. But that celebrity does not know them. Has no clue. And if you are sitting here today and you think that your foundation is built on the rock because you know Jesus, you better make sure that he can call your name. You better make sure that when that eastern sky splits or when life leaves your body, that you know Jesus. I just talked to a lady the other day sitting in my office at the bank, and she comes in. She's doing a conservatorship account because her ex-husband of 50 years old dropped dead of a massive heart attack. And we began to talk. And, you know, of course, I had to talk to her about God and the Bible and all such as that. And she opened the door. She said, you know, God has a plan. And I said, oh, there's the door. Here we go. She said it first. And we went in there and we talked about that. And she's Methodist, but that's okay. We talked about how God, he has a plan. But you know what? He has a plan. But you got to be ready. You got to be willing. And that's why I say those two rules. God has called you to something. He's called you to do something. He knows what you're supposed to be doing, but you have got to submit to that. You've got to say, you know what, God? I know that you died on the cross. I know that you agonized in the garden and you said, what is up here? Nevertheless, not what my will is, but your will. You know what happens in the play and all of these things, but are you a part of that? Have you accepted that in your life and made it something that you're going to be able to build something on? The Christian church today has about as much power is a AA battery. Not much and not for long. And that's sad. And I'm going to tell you why. We are losing this generation of young people because there is no foundation that's being built. No, we're too scared of it. I've seen it in this church. We're too scared to build on a solid foundation because, praise God, we gotta make sure that it's the same foundation that we've always been had in a church because we've done it this way for years and years. I am so glad that there was a group of people in the New Testament when Jesus come along and he said, you know what? The way that your foundation has been built for all these years is wrong. I got another way that you need to be doing it now. Bam. The people that continued to follow the path that they were on before, they wasn't a part of if you're a Jew, now there's a God-chosen people, all right? But you gotta change. You gotta accept Jesus Christ in the way that is going here. And just because we've done something forever, there's people that have grew up and lived and breathed atheist for 50 years of their life. Don't you figure they ought to change? Don't you figure that they ought to have some other type of foundation that's being built on? Absolutely that they should. And see, if you're sitting here today, and most people, 9 out of every 10, no joke, probably a little more than that, but at least 9 out of every 10 people that sit in the Christian church have a foundation that is weak. When I'm talking about you're not Jesus, but your understanding and your bought-inness to the Word of God. It is trivial. It is fickle. Most people in the church today. And the chief reason that I contribute to that is for people who stand behind a pulpit, such as myself, that are too scared to preach the Word of God and to preach things that we think today are controversial. That's why I think that is that way. We're too scared to offend people. We're too scared because we know that something like that may be happening in somebody in the congregation. Or, whoa, wait a minute, we may be doing it ourselves. So we stay away from that type of preaching in the Bible. I talked to a preacher just the other day about a different topic, and I won't mention it this morning, but they said, well, I don't preach on that. And I'm just going, what? You just take any portion of the Bible and rip it out and say, I'm not going to preach on that? That's why we are here today. It's not altogether the congregation's fault. Because, see, it's the same way that our children are having in school today. Why are our children not having a firm foundation of morality today? Because parents ain't teaching it in the home. And you're expecting that the school system's going to do that. Why is the church not having the firm foundation that it has in the Word of God? Because there ain't nobody teaching it at home, and you're expecting that in 30-minute segments, one time a week, that a pastor is going to be able to help you mold your foundation to something that when the wind blows and the rain comes and the water rises and all that kind of stuff, that your house is not going to be destroyed. I can't do that. That is not my job. And if you wrote that in a job description, you better have written that thing in pencil and erase it, because that's something that I can't do. I can't help you to learn the entire Bible, 30-minute, you know, sound clips, 52 weeks in a year. You know what you got to do? You got to go home, and you got to crack open your Bible. Pull it up on your iPad or whatever, you know, that you're doing nowadays. But crack open your Bible. Won't you read it? There's one thing today that I've seen in this church over the past year or so is some tremendous growth in people that attend more than just a Sunday morning service. Tremendous growth. Tremendous growth in people that attend Sunday school. And I'm not trying to call anybody out on anything now, okay? But it takes more than just one service. It takes more than just you coming to, you may come to service and you can't come to the other services or Sunday school or whatever. I'm not sitting here, somebody saying, oh Lord, he's stepping on my toes because he knows the reason why. No, you may have legitimate reasons for why you don't do anything. But if all you do is come to church, you don't even bring your Bible, you just read it on the screen up there and you don't have it on your phone, or you just come, you hear me for 30 minutes, you go home, you don't think about God, the Bible, prayer, or anything the rest of the week. When the wind comes and the rain starts and the streams rise, don't be surprised if that house shakes. Do not be surprised. You can come to all three services in Sunday school and still not have the firm foundation too. Now, so don't hear what I'm not saying. All right. But when you, if you're not sitting here buying into it and reading it at home and studying it, and that's what we do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights here. We study the Bible. We do it on Sunday morning. We do it in Sunday school. We do it in youth. We do it in children. We study the Bible. Sunday nights we come in and we get into meaty stuff. Wednesday nights we dive deeper than anybody ever dives. Nobody talks about the things we talk about on Wednesday night. Some people say that, well, that's a good thing. They shouldn't talk about those things. Most everybody says you ought to talk about those things because we're getting into the Bible and we're learning things and we're sitting back going and people are scratching their head going, what? What do you mean that the wise men wasn't at the nativity? Of course they were. They were there the very night that Jesus. No, they were not. They didn't. They came a year later, at least. But our foundation is built on what we see on a store shelf or what somebody has taught us in some little children's felt board thing. It's got to be deeper than that. We are losing old people, middle-aged people, and a host of young people because they are not standing on this. And too many people are scared to preach it, no matter whether you agree with it or not. I don't care whether you agree was something that I'm preaching this out of the Bible, especially if you come back to me and you can't argue with me about it in the Bible. You just say, I don't agree with that. Say, why? Well, I just don't. Can you take me to some scripture? Because I'll stand corrected. I will publicly apologize to anybody in here if I preach something that's not inside of the Bible. Because why did I say my duty is to help you to build a firm foundation, not to make your foundation you have right now already more rocky than it is? That's not my job. That's not what I set out to do. But I know that there's many a pastor that have these little strings attached right here. And because there's money involved in a paycheck that is given, that they don't want to sit there and preach what God has said about something that they know is wrong that is happening right inside of their church. I told you before, it's been said that many people have said that I'm the only pastor they've ever heard that said that he was wrong from the pulpit, you know, that I'm a sinner. You shocked? I mean, everybody ought to know that. Don't the Bible say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? I don't try to put myself above you. Many times I'm way on down here. But look, I'm preaching to myself about things many times. But I want you to assess your foundation today because that's important. Because as we've heard today, you got somebody that's laying in critical condition, okay? We got Doretha who's in the hospital with a mass on her brain. Who knows where God leads with that? We got so many people here that we could think because of what it looks like right now that are knocking on death's door. We're not promised tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, as much as Satan's been attacking right now, I'm thanking him, not Satan, but God, that my foundation is firm. I'm thanking God that I have looked and I've studied the Bible because, you know what, I'm not scared to study some of these things we've been studying on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. I'm not scared to listen to another person's religion because I have studied this, not every bit of it now. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I hadn't studied the whole Bible to the nth degree and I know everything. You got me? I don't. But as much as I have studied, I have looked at it to try to disprove this doctrine or that doctrine or whatever the church is doing. And all it did was to grow me closer to God. All it did for me was to make my foundation stronger. The more that you know in this word, the more that you understand in the word, the stronger your foundation is. And when the wind comes and the rain comes and the streams rise, you will stand. Your children will stand. Your grandchildren will stand. But if all they know is just that little bit of children's church that they did with a coloring page, if that's it, if there's no homework at home, if there's no living it, and I want you to understand what this verse of scripture says right here. In verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine is a wise person who builds his house on a solid rock? No. I left out a good portion of that. But y'all would have said, amen, we heard it. Let's go. Let's go eat. We got to watch the game tonight. No, that's not what the verse says. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It takes hearing it, and it takes application of it. The hearing gets you nowhere, okay? faith without works is dead. Okay? And I'm just asking you this morning, if your foundation isn't right, get it right. If you wonder why sometimes things come when Satan attacks and you rock and you fall down and you have to rebuild everything back up, get the foundation built right. And if you can't, if you're not disciplined enough to get it all down, you know, at home, and you need a little bit of help because either parents aren't there or, you know, you're the only person that's living there, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know everything that we talk about, but Sunday night and Wednesday nights, Sunday school, those small group types of conversations are wonderful tools to help you get into the meat of some of the words. Wednesday nights, you just come in and ask questions. We've had that happen. People come up to me every Wednesday night asking a question about this, a question about that. All we do is talk about the relevant scriptures for those topics that are out there. Okay? You have those opportunities, even within this church, to grow beyond just whatever minimal capacity that's been out there. There's all those areas. But you got to get up and go. You got to get up and go to Sunday school. You got to be willing to come back on Sunday night and willing to come back on Wednesday night. And you got to be willing to study at home. When you talk to your kids and your grandkids about studying for their test and how that studying for that test is so important throughout the week, the same thing is true of your Bible. The same thing is true. Reading your Bible, going to church, and praying are the three things that you got to do to grow closer to God. If you're just doing one of the three or two of the three, it doesn't work. They have to be all there together. All there together working as a fine tooth comb in a well-oiled machine. Okay, these altars, of course, are are still open. If you want somebody to pray with you, they'll be down here. But if you'll stand with me real quick, we'll give the benediction, and then we're going to take communion after that. So after we pray, if I can get the ushers to come forward. Father God, I thank you for this day. Father God, I thank you for the ones that are here. And Father, I just thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for that firm foundation that you provide us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. And Father God, I know that there is so much that we have to know. There are so many things that, Father, that we have to trust in you for and to study. And God, that Satan tries to manipulate situations, manipulate even your word. When we've seen that when he was tempting Jesus, that he was manipulating your very words to bring your Son down. And he does that same thing to us today. And Father, I'm just praying that the people that are in this congregation will know your word so well that they can just speak it back to Satan in the way that it needs to be, that will bring him down to his knees, just as the same way that you did Jesus when you just finally told him away from me. Father, I don't want there to be anybody in here that has a foundation that is so rocky that Satan just knocks it down because he sends some type of thing that comes their way, because I know that he is at work trying to stop things that are even going on within this church. But Father God, we know that we are children of you and that we have your hand upon us, and Satan has no power and no authority outside of that power authority that we relinquish unto him. But Father, I thank you so much for the grace and mercy that you give us. I thank you for the protecting power that you give us through your Holy Spirit. And I just ask that you'll be with us as we go into this communion service. And we just thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.